Welcome to Christ Today. God's heart is full of warmth, compassion, and love. And we know that from the Bible. He tells us that, and he also tells us what he requires of us, or we get consequences. And when we stand with God, we see his strength and his mercy, which endureth forever. Heavenly Father, let each of us belong to you and watch over us, protect us, every one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last days, I have been around so many compassionate people, people willing to give. It just gives a person joy to see the many people with good and kind hearts. So I've heard the stories of people in need, people who are old or young or with a family, with medical problems, or with cancer, or some tragedy. And then you hear other parts of the story about people who are reaching out for help, and they get help. People helping people. It might be a need for glasses, or for food, or for a ride, or paying a doctor bill. People helping people. There's a lot of that going on. It's just that we don't hear the stories so much. But there is a lot of it. Most often I think that the people who are doing the helping are not well-off people. They are a few people who get together and join in an effort to just help other people. It's kindness in their heart. And a lot of people who are willing to help make a big help. There is a word of caution also, and that is some people might be a little bit too soft-hearted, so you have to be careful that you are not taken advantage of. And that is an advantage to being a part of a group. Because if you are a part of a group, you have their wisdom. You have people looking after other people in the group. So if you're one of those soft-hearted, kind-hearted individuals, you just might want to join a group. And that way you will also have a certain anonymity. You would stay anonymous. And so let's try to join a group. You know, there's groups all over the place. There's church groups. There's civics groups. There's special interest groups, so like a sewing club or a knitting club. And there are people in those clubs that sew things or knit things to give out to people. There's every sort of way to help that you want. There's civic groups that help. There are, like Lions International, they help. Or you might want to sit on a civic community group, like Toys for Tots even. That would be with the police association probably. Or there are Christmas gift groups. Groups with your church. There are just lots of ways to give, and lots of people are doing it. Of course, there's always money. People give $2 or $20, $200 or $2,000. A lot of people have kind hearts and they give. But all the gifts make a difference. Little gifts add up, and people doing work helps too. Another thing about the people who are doing the work, when they know the community is behind them because that group is receiving money gifts from the community or material gifts from the community, it helps those people know that they have a backing of the people in their community. So give a bunch of things if you can. A little here, a little there. It helps a lot of people. And you don't have to wait till Christmas. Give things throughout the year. It's just good to help. I know with my going through life, I have seen plenty of things going on that are troubles. People have troubles, and that started me to consider preparedness, because people have troubles, and when you are prepared, you can give. You can help others. So preparedness, oh, I guess probably it starts with people who are looking after themselves, and they want to make sure that they are taken care of. But soon enough, that expands to include other people, oh, like your family or your neighbors or your community. It just is something that when you start thinking about helping, it expands. And so many people need things, oh, like glasses or a wheelchair or clean water or a school building or school books. There's no limits to this. It's just that we need to remember that that is a way of showing our love and compassion for other people. And that's like the second part of the Great Commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. Well, there's another little part of that which mostly we don't have to be concerned about. But if we give too much, we create a person who is dependent. And that's never healthy for one person to be dependent on another for the charity that they get. So you just think about joining a group or being a part of a group so that you get some more information and ideas. Yes, the part about charity is good. And I do think of 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. So that's there's different parts of the Bible. Some of them are full of charity, and some of them are like that one, that say you need to do something to take care of yourself. Well, lots of people have different opinions, and it's okay. We can have different opinions and still get along. Just remember to talk these ideas out, because wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. Yeah, that's Proverbs 15:22. There's something about that in Proverbs 11 also. A multitude of counselors is good. It's better when people cooperate. It's better when people have the same goals. It's just better. Oh, doesn't that just remind me of the story of the little red hen? Because people who want to give also need to work. That's the story of the little red hen. You know, there was a little red hen that wanted to make some bread for her little chicks. But to make the bread, she needed to do some things. Collect the grain, grind the grain, knead the dough, make a fire. And it doesn't say this, but I think you also have to clean up the kitchen. Well, anyway, it's a process. And all along in that process, the little red hen, she asks others, the other farm animals, if they would do something to help her. And you know, she didn't get any help. The little red hen did all the work herself. But the other farm animals were sure ready when it was time to eat the bread. Well, at that time, after the bread was all done, then she only had bread for her little chicks and not the other farm animals that wouldn't help her. So I think there's a moral to that story too. Look it in the Bible or look it in a child's story. Well, we all understand the ideas behind the stories. We really do. And we do have situations we don't understand. We do look at the what if of what is going around us, And really, we don't know the whole answers. God does, but we don't. We get surprises. Surprises really do hit us. And I think of things that could hit us just because I do. I think of our electrical grid going down, or I think of a monetary collapse of the U.S. dollar. I think those are our two most likely big things that could happen. And then there would be chaos for months. And I don't know who would be going to the store to buy things. Or if there was no electricity, there wouldn't be any sales going on. There wouldn't be any gas to deliver things. So we don't know what the future holds, but it only makes sense to me to have some preparation for that just in case. There are probabilities. We can look at it, but it's not the same as knowing something will happen. We just don't quite know. We really don't. God knows the future, and we don't. But he does tell us things in the Bible that we can learn from. And that's a really good reason to read the Bible, isn't it? Yeah. Only God knows the future. We can have a look at what the possibilities might be, and that's good. Because then we have an idea how we ourselves want to prepare. Well, when I talk to people about preparing, it's a little bit surprising to me how many people will say, they'll actually say, well, if something bad happens, I'll come over to your house. And I'm sure that's true. And I'm sure some of them will come over to help and come over to ask for a little something. And there will be those who will come over to steal. It's just human behavior. People are people, and they act different. And we can see from history that there's every sort of behavior in times of trouble. The goodness of people comes out, and the badness of people comes out. So there will be kindness and generosity, and there will be gangs and violence. Oh, yeah, we think of gangs, but it could also be hungry policemen or government working people. It's just a fact of history that has happened over in the eastern zone of the Soviet Union back then, when they had those shortages. That happened in China, that happened, well, in every country of the world. You look around Africa, South America, it's the same pattern. So we can recognize it and see what we would do. Now, I don't mean we stand up. Maybe we do stand up. Often enough, the people who stand up to strength are smashed like bugs. That's what happens when you stand up to real force. But you still have to put a little thought into what you would do for the just in case. And there might not be one answer. There might be several answers. And I think every bit of preparedness that we have is better to have that than nothing. So, by all means, look at putting something aside for the just in case. A few days ago, I heard a retired Navy guy say, "You can never be too prepared." I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe not. Of course, they have a big system behind them in the military. They do get prepared. But we have limited resources, and we have to make decisions and try to figure out what we ourselves wants to do. I was driving into Chico the other day, and I saw a billboard that said something about preparedness. So I looked a little closer. It said, "It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when something will happen," referring to an emergency. And maybe I should have looked a little closer at that, but I just remember it because it made me think that there are people who see troubles are coming. I hope I didn't take that billboard out of context, but that's all I remember about it. Well, there are a lot of people who are taking steps towards preparedness, and the number grows continually. There's people who are doing it both ways. People who are taking the preparedness steps and people who are not. So I just think you'll feel better about the situation. You will have a knowledge of preparation and some supplies. So I do say get prepared for the just in case. We do have choices. We have a lot of choices. We have a lot of things that we can do or not do. And we fulfill these things better when we have a plan. So I do think it's good to take a while, maybe an hour every week or something, and just think about what you would do for the just in case. It certainly helps to have a plan. With a plan, you can get your thoughts and your supplies organized. So, yeah, come up with a plan. Let's see. A minute ago, I said something about a monetary collapse, and then I said about how it's good to be prepared. Well, I do think of the economy because, well, it's something I think of. Also, I read about things that just get my attention. Like a few days ago, the Wall Street Journal had a little article and said that the eligible banks did not accept all of the, well, I say free money. It wasn't exactly free, but it was money that they could have gotten from the Federal Reserve for their overnight fund. So what happened, the article said, was the Fed only injected $90 billion U.S. dollars into that overnight fund. And they call it injected, but really for our purposes, what it means is the Federal Reserve of New York created money. That's what they mean when they say injected. That's what I understand it to mean. Well, the Fed does talk about lots of big money. Not millions of dollars, but billions of dollars. Yeah, 90 billion U.S. dollars. That's a lot. And then they talk about trillions of dollars on their balance sheet. They talk about $4.18 trillion. So different people have different ideas about what the Fed is telling us. They have a different idea about what all these numbers mean and what is going on behind the scenes. We are not in a position to know what is going on, but we regular people, we can look at the simple concepts and grasp the situation as best we can. That's about as much as we can do. So we get an idea what's going on, and it appears that currency and electronic credit dollars are being created out of thin air. Therefore, at some point, we will have to have big inflation. That's what happens when you create money. Well, there's been so many countries around the world that have done this, and it always leads to a economy that has troubles and uncertainty in the economy and the big markets. That means that jobs will disappear and it will leave more people unable to pay their bills. That is typically what happens in all of the countries where they have just printed money. So with inflation, it's not just that we pay back the money in cheaper dollars. That is true until there is a problem. And when there is a problem, everybody suffers. The system suffers, and the jobs disappear, and even though there is inflation, it makes instability. Well, a few days ago, Ray Dalio, he's the manager of the world's largest hedge fund, he said, well, let me see. The headline said, Dalio says, cash is trash. And while he didn't say that in those words, you could say that that's what he meant. And what this means to us is that the United States dollar is losing its value, and it's losing its purchasing power. So even if we don't believe quite what he said, we do see that he is concerned about things changing right now. And he is in a position to know. That's why I used his name and his what he does. He seems to be saying that we should buy gold. Now, at $1,500 for gold the size of a silver dollar, I'll tell you, you can't buy much. But you can buy silver dollars, and they cost about $20. So there is a movement to buy precious metals, and I think that's okay. Another giant hedge fund manager and a billionaire, Seth Klarman, says the United States rally will soon run out of fuel, and he says that the rising debt levels and the politically divided United States and the global tensions will all trouble the markets in short order. So people see trouble coming. People see a lot of things coming. And then there's the World Economic Forum going on right now in Davos, Switzerland. The elite of the world are meeting there. And they're gathering to tell all of us ordinary people that we are damaging the climate of Earth. Oh, I shouldn't laugh. It's a serious thing. But at that meeting, there are about 3,000 people. And after they pay for their membership and the fee for attending the meeting, they are each paying $100,000 to $600,000 each to attend. So there's a lot of people there with a lot of money. There's 119 billionaires. That's what's going on in Davos, Switzerland, where they are trying to figure out what you and I should do, how us ordinary people should conserve. And by the way, the people there, they took 309 private jets to be there. And then once they're there, they have helicopters and luxury cars to shuttle them around once they get there. So, yeah, we have to conserve our fuel, our resources, but they're special people, and they don't have to. We have to cut back on our electricity and water, but they get what they want. So, it's a going on thing. It's happening. And we should be aware of it. And yes, we should be good stewards, but we should realize that there are people who have an agenda that isn't really good for us. So obviously they want to tell us what we can do and what we can not do. And since they are so well connected, they seem to be able to tell us what we can do and not do. And our government makes laws to make that happen. Well, that's what happens when you're one of the elite of the world. Oh, yeah. They tell us what to do for our own good and how we should protect our Mother Earth. Oh, yes, that's what they say. By the way, the fires in Australia, they are putting a whole lot of emissions into the atmosphere. 900 million tons of pollutants into the atmosphere. And that is twice the annual fuel emissions for Australia, because of those forest fires. What do we do? I guess we have to prevent forest fires. Well, there's a lot going on around the world, and we have to remember to focus on Jesus and show our love for others. In the midst of all the things that are going on, the trials, the troubles, it's Jesus where we want our focus to be. And then we just keep going with love, with even obedience to Jesus, but love for other people too. It's not always easy. And interactions with other people are not always easy, but that's what we are called upon to do. So let's do it. Let's be faithful to God. Well, there are issues that distract us. Oh, like California is considering banning acetaminophen, which is also called Tylenol or Excedrin, or it's in Robitussin and Theraflu. So I don't know if it would ever happen, but the state of California is looking at it, as they call it, a cancer-promoting substance. So, I guess we should just thank them for protecting us. Oh, yeah. We have concerns. Is that a concern? I don't know. Should we be concerned with what's going on in Iran? Sure. Should we be concerned that there were U.S. troops in Syria that stopped a convoy of Russian military trucks? A lot of times nothing happens, but they could happen. And that's the kind of thing which it's okay to remember. Things can happen. And that's why we want to have the preparedness. The scientists have just said that the doomsday clock has moved a minute closer to midnight. That just happened a few days ago. So, yeah, there's things going on in the world to distract us. They might be important, but there is nothing more important than having that born-again personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. The other day, I was listening to Dr. James Dobson on Family Talk Radio. His guest was Dr. Horowitz. Oh, no, it wasn't Doctor, it was just David Horowitz. The talk intrigued me, and so I wrote down the name of his book. It was Dark Agenda. And then later that day, I was walking by my bookshelf, and I saw, I have that book. I just haven't read it yet. The subtitle of that book is The War to Destroy Christian America. Well, I've seen that trend going on for 30 years. And I've seen that we are in the middle of a war. It's a war between good and evil. Or you can call it the war between God and Satan. And yes, we have a choice. And our choice is which side will we be on. A part of that means where will we spend eternity. What is at stake? The souls of mankind, men and women, the souls of you and me and our families. It is a most important decision. So some people will think about it a lot. Some people will think about it hardly at all. And that's just how it goes. You see, in life, aren't we all just so very busy? It is hard to get extra time. It's hard to even think about things like our eternal destiny when we are all tied up with the things of each day, like our cell phone. Or do we have phone calls to answer, phone calls to make? Is there something on the internet that we need to look at? Oh, and what about our Facebook friends? Do we have any appointments coming up, like to buy groceries, to buy clothes? And of course, there might be a doctor appointment in there. So we hardly have enough time to think about all the things in front of us. And it just gets pretty hard when we also have to consider our eternal destiny. That's the way it is for some people. For others, we always have God in our thoughts. And that is just something we all have to deal with. It's different for each one of us. It's some people see it one way, some people see it another. And I think the big thing we can do is pray for people as they have to deal with so many things in life. So often we only think about our eternal destiny when there is a matter of life and death in front of us, or some great big trauma, when something is more than we can bear. Often we turn to Jesus Christ. We seek God. We seek the comforts that we have through Jesus Christ. And so, that is a matter of how things go for so many people. Just remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't quite get it, have a little study time and read that Bible. It's a good thing. There is truth in the Bible, and we want to follow what is true. That means we learn from the Bible. We can learn from other people sometime, but we sure have to be careful, because some people are spiritual deceivers, and they want to gather people to follow them. Yeah, it's just something, it's so human that some people will look for followers, and when you are trying to be faithful to God, those people will use your passion, your desire, and redirect it so that they want people to follow them instead of God. It's just how it is. Often enough, these people do have gifts, and they talk about their gifts and how special they are instead of how special God is. Well, don't be led astray. You find out who is the one true God, the God of the Bible, and read his book to us. I do prefer the King James Version of the Bible for my personal reading. When I'm reading with other people present, I often like the New King James Version because people have an easier time with it. So, I recently told you the New International Version and newer Bible versions, they leave some verses out. And also, they lessen the holiness of God in Jesus Christ. So that's another reason why I like the King James Version and the New King James Version. So consider that, please. And so I think about that book again, The Dark Agenda, and there are themes in that book. And it shows just how long this war against Christianity has been going on. It gives examples. It talks about our schools, our businesses, our institutions, our courts, and our government, and even some churches. The book talks about how there are dark forces that have a plan, and that plan is to destroy the fundamental beliefs and values of the American people, especially the American Christian people. So we have to know what we believe, stand up for it, and support it in prayer and even in dollars. So there are different people who look at how our nation is having a decay, a spiritual decay? Oh, I know Jonathan Cahn has written that book, The Harbinger. He's written several other books too, and he talks about the pattern of decay. And then if we don't correct the decay, we get judgment. It would be very, very serious. We do have examples around the world of government and societies that have been judged, have had consequences. And we certainly don't want that here. We want things to be good. And so we have to remember God. There's been quite a few people in the past few decades who have talked about a word from God that they had and how serious a decay could come, what would happen when we experienced decay in the United States. So we have examples from other countries. Decay is not good. We need to keep the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our society, and we do that through our prayers and our actions. If you want to think about how bad it can get, I know I go to Revelation chapter 18. It's pretty bad there. It's one serious chapter. Could it happen? Yep. It could happen here. So, again, that's a reason for me to say get some preparations so that you can make it through the hard times, is that you can help people through the hard times. So whatever the situation that is coming up, I hope that you remember to show hope. Give comfort and show hope to other people. That is so important for people who are hurting. Remember that. God put us here for a time such as this. He knew how things were going to be, and he knew that we can do it. We can get through this time, and we can be a part of God's plan for whatever it is, whatever we have to deal with. God put us here for a time such as this, so you will be able to get through whatever's in front of you. Please realize that. That phrase, for a time such as this, came from the book of Esther. That's right before the book of Job and before the book of Proverbs. So Esther was in a royal position, and she helped her people. Her stepfather said that she could help, and if she couldn't help, God would put somebody else in her place, but that she was born for a time such as this. And that is what we are. We are here, born for a time such as this. Okay, I've been thinking about this. The book of Esther is before the book of Job, and that is before the book of Psalms, and that is before the book of Proverbs. So I wanted to get my books in proper order. Well, I just say that so you find the book of Esther. It's a good short book to read, probably 10 pages or less, and it just is nice to see how God works in the lives of believers and people who need him. There's so many good books in that Bible, and I just say read the Bible, example after example of different ways to deal with what is right in front of us. Sometimes it's a person or a group that needs our attention. And I think one of the examples that we can learn is to seek the Lord. Always seek the Lord. Look for his guidance to help us as we are in a situation. Look at those biblical examples. They can only help us, and they do. It it makes me think of that Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season here. To everything there is a season, for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which has been planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to keep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend apart and a time to sew together, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That's Ecclesiastes 3 in the first part there. And if you remember from the 1960s, there was a song, To Every Season, and it sings those words. It's kind of hard when you know that song to not sing the words, but they are wise words, and they found their way into that song. We do want God to guide us and direct us, and God uses different methods to guide us and direct us. Sometimes he does it with a suggestion or some information, something we hear from a person. And in other times, there are actual miracles that go on. God does perform miracles. He really does. And God provides things for us to see and for us to experience. Just like in the Bible, there are stories. There are lots of stories where God works. And he does not do it by a formula. In fact, he makes sure that there is not a formula. He healed the blind people in the Bible using a different method every time. And I think that's just so that we do not think there are an action or words to make us think that something miraculous will happen. We just have to remember that God is the source of all these things that happen. Our faith is an important part of it, but God moves as he moves, and he wants us to know that he does that, and it's not by words, magic words that make things happen. No, it is by our relation with him and our prayer and that communication. Now, that's the way I see it. But there's so many people who see things differently, and that's okay. We can talk about it. We can discuss it. And what I see is that God works when we have faith, and that God may do an action, and that action will be done perfectly. That's what has happened in the biblical examples. We see that he knows things from the past, from the present, and in the future, and he incorporates them perfectly into something that he causes to happen. I know, miracles, yes, that's what we call it, and it is true. Because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are perfect. Recently, I talked about what it takes to be saved. I did that a little bit ago on a broadcast, and I said that the Bible talks about this. to be saved can be ever so simple. With our heart and our words, it can be so simple. But I think our heart really is the important part, and not the words that make the difference about whether we are saved or have something happen. And there's a lot of people. Now, words do make a difference. It tells us that when we speak with our mouth, that God raised Jesus from the dead. So there is something to words, and there is something to your heart condition that makes the difference about salvation and about God's moving. It's just not done by a formula, and that's, I think, what we have to remember. We do have to look at salvation. I think it can be so easy. It's such an easy thing. And you look at the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's Luke 23:43. That's one way to remember it. It's so easy. And yet there's other passages that, I don't know, you might look at. There's Matthew 7:22. Let's see, here we are. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, what do I see when I read that passage? I see several things that get my attention. They are the words saith, prophesy, in thy name, profess. And to me, these all indicate they were spoken. Words that were spoken. And then there's some words that are not said. It doesn't say believe. It doesn't say faith. And so I think of this as the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. And that you and we all study and seek God personally. And then we find that the words that are spoken, those are not what makes the difference. It is the condition of your heart. No, there's not one set action that just a couple of magic words that make something happen. No, it is your heart set to Jesus. That's my view. Not a set formula, but it is the personal relationship. Now, there's other things people look for a formula of getting what they want. Oh, there are certain behaviors in churches, like the laying on of hands, that is viewed as having a certain result. There's something called slain in the spirit. I don't know. I think of those things as a formula which we have to be really, really cautious about. And there's plenty of people who disagree with me, and that's okay. I think there's a lot of disagreement within the Christian faith, and we need to look at what we do agree on, and those are the fundamental things, which is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But look into the Bible. It helps to understand things, and it helps to explain things, especially when we search out and seek understanding. because that's what we want. We want the truth, the truest truth. And that is what we get when we seek to know God through His Word, the Bible. So use caution when you are listening to a man or somebody in church, even somebody on the radio, somebody on TV. Be careful when you listen to men, all people. It's just something you have to do. The Bible is the truest truth, and the other people can tell you truth too. It's just that you get discernment when you read the Bible. Because there's no one more responsible for you and your eternal destiny than you. You are responsible for where you spend eternity. So listen to what Jesus has to say. Listen to the Bible and the entire Bible. And that way you don't get verses that are read out of context. So, yeah, get to know the Bible. And remember that you are preparing to be with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. And this is a chance to get to know Him before you actually get into His kingdom. So be comfortable as you go through life with pleasing our all-knowing, everlasting God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and separate yourself from any thoughts or activities which do not please God. Oh, yes, indeed. And that is a part of learning the Bible truth. We get to know and understand this when we read the Bible. It's the source of the final authority. Last week I was talking to a neighbor lady, and she had been reading through the Bible from page one, and now she had been reading for a year now, and she is so close to the very end of the Bible, and she was so pleased. I said to her, isn't it interesting how we believe the Bible says one thing, and when we read it, it actually says it a little bit different than what we thought it said? We get a fuller understanding of God's truth when we read His Word. Oh, and her response was a big yeah. So then we talked about Genesis for a while. All very interesting. Now, I have read the Bible through a few times, but I'm not a Bible scholar. We can learn from many people, and pastors of every type can teach us just plenty. So yes, be ready to learn and know that our journey, salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of our faith journey. So definitely seek Jesus. And yes, praise the Lord that we are able to grow in knowledge and understanding and grace. Oh, we are so thankful that we have Jesus. So we also have a relation with our neighbor, different neighbors, and we want to remember that that is the human aspect of sharing the gospel. There's some pretty serious subjects in life, but none is more important than our eternal salvation. So remember to share the gospel and pray for others. Let's look around us in life and keep a good attitude with Christ and His wisdom and love in our heart. And may He guide and protect us. And thank you for listening to this broadcast of Christ Today. And you can listen to this or another one by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. And you can always get my free preparedness brochure by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for your prayers and your support. May you walk with God and may God walk with you.
Let me live my life inside your heart.